I was just going to extend the intro for you. Hi, welcome to Waxing Lyrically Podcast with me, Drex Holt, and
myself, Alisa Hinton.
Yay!
I like that.
Really good. It's good to be back. I feel like we haven't been on in a while.
Yeah, it has. It seems like just everything's been so busy, and we've been breaking up our podcast into little chunks and getting people together for interviews. So it takes a little bit.
When we're already here for the shows and stuff, it's a lot easier to go ahead and let's go ahead and record real quick. You know, it's kind of fun.
Absolutely.
Well, this episode, I'm sure y'all were just wondering, am I going to hear about the mousetrap again? It's so way over, but yes, you're going to hear about the mousetrap again.
It's because it was so good.
Because it was so good, and we just can't stop. But no, it's going to be, we're going to talk about the process of, because, you know, we do six of our own shows a year, right, or more. Mm-hmm. There's the kids' shows and stuff, and then we have the people that come in. And you're always kind of in this process. You're either in a show, before a show, or after a show. So we're going to talk about going. Now, I know we messed this up at a couple of points during the interviews. But out with the old, in with the new.
That's right.
See?
You did. No, you did it right. I was about to take us astray.
Thanks. I'm glad you have faith in me. But yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, it's not just doing the show and then tearing it down, doing the strike, and then you're over. You know, there's these residual feelings. There's, you know, you kind of feel like you're in limbo. And
post-show
it's
kind of
sad. Post-show blues. And then, but then you head into that, and it's like, wow, you know, we're all fired up. We can't wait to get to rehearsal. You're perusing your script. So we're going to talk about that. And we have a couple of great interviews.
Yeah,
we've got
really
so we had two interviews from Mousetrap. We had our producer, Shannon Dennis, on. We did kind of like a little two-by-two-way interview with Alisa and I, and then Shannon Dennis and the great Levi Packer. And from what I remember, he told a couple of really good professional acting guy stories.
So. Oh yeah, he did. You had a few. You can hold your own with Levi. I'm impressed.
Maybe. Yeah. I have a couple.
You got the lingo.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting there. I'm trying. Thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For noticing.
You're welcome. I really am impressed.
And then we're gonna interview the ones starting up the new show, which
All
would
shook
be.
Up.
Let me see. That was
Brandon Pierce and Jennifer Reeves.
That's right.
Another great interview with two folks that we haven't heard from before. So really exciting. I think y'all are really going to enjoy it.
We're trying to switch it up. We're trying not to do all the same family. And that's hard because there's a lot of families here. You know, you just interview one person right after the next and they're all related. But so we're trying to switch it up, get some new people. As far as upcoming events, even... We've got a little bit of both. You know, we've got All Shook Up coming up, and we'll talk about that. But I'm pretty excited about the red carpet premiere on March 23rd and the 24th of Showdown
on
the
Brazos,
directed by Bill Foster, who, incidentally, he was the one who wrote the original play, which was my first one I did at the Lyric.
Windows Home. Yeah. Yes, I remember reading for that. It was so interesting because the Windows Home that I read for was not the Windows Home made it to stage.
You read like
it was the very first
like
iteration. Yes, it was a workshop, and it was mainly about a young man who wanted to play the piano, and his father was wanted him to be more typical masculine at football. Yeah, it was very.
Like it ended up being about like the Vietnam War.
Yes, so it makes me wonder if.
It was a completely different show.
It was a totally different show. Maybe he just was like, wrote a whole other show and then thought, you know, this sounds a lot better with the title Windows Home.
Yeah. And then he started brainstorming there. Well, it was, obviously I've talked about this before, but it changed my life. It was amazing. It was, that was such a big part and it was a very emotional part. I mean,
it was
I cried
an emotional
for
show
every night. And because of that, there was about, what do we average, about 25, 40 people per show. Maybe.
I know.
Yeah, people just, you know, they got a lot going on.
And a lot of times people want to go to the theater to laugh.
For sure.
And so, but you really see those excellent performances when you go to a show where that's a little grittier. That was Katie Tidwell, right?
Yeah, Katie was the director. And it's funny because they did the double auditions with 9 to 5. And then I just went right into 9 to 5 after that.
Oh,
you know?
That was
so
when,
crazy.
You know, when you're brand new starting out in theater and you're like, oh, I can do the next 4 shows. And you do. And then after a couple years, you're like, whoa.
I was,
I need a break.
Yeah. Especially when it goes from all that to nothing. Yes. It's kind of, yeah. It can mess with your brain. But also, my mom was in it. I don't know if she made it into the final cut. Talking about Showdown in Brazos, of course.
I didn't know that.
Yes, because my... she plays a, I don't know what they called them then, but a lady of the night.
Oh, like a madam?
Yes. I don't even know if she was high rank enough to be a madam.
Wow.
I think she was a Madam A or something. Or just one of the girls.
Just one of the ladies there bidding her goods.
She was, yeah.
Oldest trade in history.
And, you know, my cousin, Joshua Wilburn, was the director of photography on that one.
I did not realize how much of your family was in it. I know, didn't Val Nelson?
Yeah, Val Nelson was in it in some way. And then she did another thing with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've done a lot with Bill and Linda Foster. They're great, really nice people, you know. And man, that guy can churn out a story, and he can put one together.
He's a writer.
His stories are good for sure. So yeah, that's going to be on March. What was it, 23rd?
23rd and 24th.
Yeah. So the 23rd will be a Saturday night at 7:30.
And that's a movie. For those of you who don't know that, it is a movie.
Yes,
that will be screened.
It is a movie that was made in Texas with some familiar faces you might see in there. Then after that,
we've got our musical.
Yeah, All Shook Up.
All Shook Up. Ooh.
I just saw Alex walk through.
I'm all shook up.
He's going up to choreography and everything, so that's pretty
They're putting
exciting.
In a lot of time. Practicing. Yeah. It's kind of crunch time. There wasn't a lot for this show. It feels like we've said that about several of the shows. Like there's just not a lot of time to put together everything that it takes to go into making a show that people want to see. But somehow we pull it off.
It is with Dylan because he has to work those other shows too. Dylan, our other producer and sound guy, he's got to work all the shows. So he's always doing something up
there. I just show up late. I just show up in the week before. That's why.
The closer.
Yeah.
He's the closer. Yep. He just comes in and throws heat.
Because of the wrap-up.
Yeah. For the last ninth of it, he just comes in and throws heat.
And makes everything look and sound so great.
Yeah. And...
So that is... All Shook Up is April 5th through the 14th. It's a musical.
April 5th through 14th on our regular show schedule. We'll talk more about it then. Then after that, we have Dennis Lambert, April 20th. Now, here's where I'm stumped, because I'm not sure who Dennis Lambert is. It's a concert. Does he play the piano? Yeah, he plays the piano.
He's been here before.
Oh, nice.
He's a Brownwood native. He graduated in Brownwood.
Oh, I think he might have played at, yes, he played at Teddy's a couple of times. I'm sure of it. Yeah, he's great.
Oh,
now
exciting.
That I remember. Yeah, that's going to be a good night. It's going to be fun. That's April 20th. So... I guess now it's about time to
start those interviews.
Start those interviews. We're going to start here with Levi and Shannon.
And we are here on the Lyric stage. We've got Levi Packer and Shannon Dennis. Welcome, Levi. Welcome, Shannon. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we are here in our little series.
I'm here too.
Drex
Thank
is
you very
here.
Much. Hi.
Yes. Drex is here with us on the stage as well.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
We're talking about our in with the old, out with the old, and in with the new. So
it, you know, it's such a I don't know. It's always like a really emotional process, and I think it is for other people too, about how, you know, you end a show and it's like, you know, what do we do from here? Versus how when you start a show, you're just like gung-ho, you're ready to do everything.
Yeah. Pumped, excited.
It's never going to end. You're totally excited. So I guess we wanted to talk to y'all about how you feel going out of Mousetrap and going out of shows in general.
Well, one thing that's been really surreal coming out of the Mousetrap is I'm choreographing All Shook Up. And right now, I mean, we're on the stage right now. We can see it. But there's still the fake wood paneling on the stage. And I've been teaching people to dance over the wood paneling we used for the show I was just in. And so every time I'm dancing with them, I'm reminded of the fact that Mousetrap is over.
So
and it's kind of
it
a bittersweet. Yeah.
Yeah, I... I was wondering with you because, like, we're talking about, like you said, in with the old or out with the old, in with the new, but you're kind of doing both of them.
Yeah.
So, and not only that, you're choreographing for All Shook Up?
Yes. I'm not in it. I'm just choreographing.
They didn't rope you in?
No, I narrowly escaped.
You're lucky. Some folks didn't. I know that there are several who were approached even at cast parties and, you know, hey, please be in this show. Yeah, I know. It's a real
honor. To
clarify,
it's going to be a very fun show and we have very talented people in it. It just was a rough audition process.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's going so much better.
We had the perfect director for that. You know, Nancy Jo knows how to, you know.
She's got connections and she's got a good network, so she can
pull folks out. She's got a ringer network for sure.
But generally, musicals are difficult to get men in.
Men especially.
That can sing and dance and act. Mm-hmm. It's usually very difficult, so that doesn't surprise me.
I was telling somebody that at my age, as far as like some new skill I want to pick up, and if I'm looking at it as far as a professional career goes, it makes more sense for me to learn how to ride a horse than it does for me to take voice lessons or dance lessons or whatever, being where we are and whatnot. Because, you know, I'm not going to go on. I'm a 47-year-old male. I'm not going to go on to like a, you know, a Broadway musical career.
Right.
Get the special skills section of your resume built up.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying.
So, Levi, what about you? How are you feeling post the Mousetrap?
Well, mixed emotions. It's obviously bittersweet. I mean, I think it's like Drek said, it's you're so gung-ho in the beginning, and then it just kind of... But I feel like that's art reflecting life, you know, because isn't that like that in a lot of things? We get so excited when we're starting a project, and then when it's finished, it's like a void. But it creates an energy for momentum. You know, because you crave that excitement, you crave that engagement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very gratifying too, because it's not like other projects where you'll get into them, you're so gung ho, and then maybe you get distracted and go on to something else. Mm-hmm. These shows have a beginning and an end,
right?
And they are a goal that you're like, okay, that goal's down. I feel really awesome now because I accomplished something else. You know,
yeah, you can kind of measure where you are.
It's not like a job where you're just like, oh, I wanted this job. Now what?
That's indefinite.
Later,
Or like other hobbies where you can kind of set them down and pick them back up again whenever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, you're working on knitting or something, and you could just set that aside and then pick it up whenever you want later. It could be the next day or it could be months from now. With theater, you've kind of got to be all in on the project for a month or two, and then you're done.
Can you imagine somebody sitting over you like, all right, we're going to need that. I don't know. What do you knit? What are things you knit? We're going to need that scarf here in 2 months. Better get into it.
I
want you on
off
book with those knitting techniques after, you know, standing over your shoulder.
Well, I know in my experience, sometimes you're ready for that break, depending on what the show is or how many you had been in prior to that, you know, or heavy.
Yeah. Like you're ready for it. Like with Mousetrap, I was kind of ready, but just because, like, I didn't feel like I really felt like we had something so good that it wasn't like, okay, wait, I need to go back and try this next time, or I need to go back so we can do this part well next time, or whatever. Everything.
Oh yeah,
was
you
great.
Guys were just vibing from day one.
I was ready, but yet I felt guilty that I was ready.
Yeah.
And I keep trying.
I felt ready too. So yeah. You were don't ready. Feel guilty.
I also felt ready, but then it was partly, I think, because we were all like dying of disease. Because we were all so everybody was physically so sick. Exhausted True. And we weren't feeling well. Everybody was dealing with allergies or colds or whatever. But then the week afterwards, when I was feeling better, I was ready to perform again. I was kind of like, if we had had a third weekend, I would have been happy to go again by the third weekend. But during that weekend, I was definitely like, get me out of here. I'm so done.
Well, and that's how I felt the first weekend. I was so tired with that whole, like, the last 2 weeks before you open, it's just like, go, 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 go.
Every day.
And I'm gosh, okay, this weekend's done. I'm going to sleep. And then next thing you know, well, half of it's gone. We only have four shows left, and it's done. It's kind of sad. I keep trying to, every conversation I have with a lady is I keep trying to bait them into comparing it to, like, postpartum depression. Because I don't want to say that myself, being a guy. You know.
I think
so. I'm nudging Elisa to say it's like having a baby.
And I'll speak for, you know, somebody who has had some children. Yes, I represent every woman here. And Drex, you're absolutely wrong. Nothing like postpartum depression.
Ouch. So. Well, as close as I can get to it. No, I'm not talking about the physical pain. I'm just talking about, you know, like, what do I do now?
There's a void.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's just that sense of the post-show blues where you had your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not even be so much about, you know, the play itself, but it's the people that you're with.
Yeah, and the alchemy of the personalities.
Yes. And you're, you know, you're going, you're seeing all your people. It's fun. There's energy. If you're having kind of a bad day, more than likely the people around you, you're going to get jazzed. You're going to feel better. Yeah. So I think that is a one of the big kind of letdowns for leaving or ending a show.
It's always cool
for sure.
If you have something like coming next, you know, like we were talking about, Shannon has the Elvis thing. Or All Shook Up, sorry, the Elvis thing. Very good branding.
That's the correct title.
The official
title is the Elvis thing.
Excellent. Yeah. See, I knew that. So Levi, what do you got next? I hear you had a callback, probably can't talk about it.
No, I can talk about it. I had an audition, as did you, for the San Antonio.
He's rubbing it in his face that he got a call back.
No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
You trapped me.
Yeah.
No, we both had an audition for the San Antonio Board of Tourism to be the face of San Antonio's tourist campaign. And I got a call back 2 days ago and met with the director and the casting director. And I have not gotten an answer back on that yet. But the audition went very well and we had a really good rapport. And I feel optimistic about it.
Nice. Have you been in a commercial before?
Yes, I have. Yeah, it has been. I mean, longer and longer since
I was in Entourage, yo. Come
on. Well, I was a small part in Entourage. That was one of my first jobs in Los Angeles, was on Entourage. But I have been on several commercials, from small to big. My biggest one being a national commercial for Chevrolet.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah.
You were the face of Chevrolet.
Now I wasn't you're going to be the face of San Chevrolet, Antonio. I wouldn't say. And there'll be several, many people in that commercial. You know, I wouldn't be the face. But.
So having said that you were in Entourage and little commercials and then stage performances, what's it like? What is the difference in rolling off one of those? You know, comparatively speaking, what's it like to roll off of Entourage?
Exactly. It's like a 1 day job.
So there is, you're not building those bonds with people then.
Correct.
It's nothing like.
There's nothing like live theater in terms of that. It's very cerebral. You know, everybody's doing their jobs. They're not really concerned about you because you have your job to do and pull your weight. Whereas live theater is very, you know, interactive with each other and supporting each other. And you really feel a sense of family. Yeah. And it's not like that working commercially or, for TV film. It's so fast paced though. It's fun in a different way. Because
you're making money.
You're making money for one. But you're cranking out a product And that feels really satisfying because it's not an elongated process.
Like immediate results.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can have several juggling at once, several jobs and things going all at one time. What I will say is the preparation is, I wouldn't say the same because you have so long in live theater to prepare, but you still have to put in the hours to prepare so that you can pull your weight on set.
Yeah, you don't want to go there and not be ready. It's not like coming here and maybe you flub your lines. Like, you go there and, you know, like, not only that, like, it's you know, of course I'm talking out of turn here because I don't have the experience that Levi does, but you know, you don't want people to talk about, oh yeah, he got on set, he didn't know his lines, you know, he didn't bring a whole suitcase for the commercial or whatever it was.
So they expect you to have your part memorized
verbatim.
Yeah, they're not going to like scream at you like in the movies. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Maybe some of them they will, but they'll definitely shoot you some looks. And
right, because so often, you know, you're not George Clooney or Brad Pitt on set. You're playing a smaller role, a supporting role, or an extra role, whatever you're doing. And the leeway is given to the stars and to the leads in it. You know, they can kind of flub, but you are expected as somebody lower on the totem pole.
Well, and that
I know
makes
there's no
sense.
Small parts.
But that does make sense because I picture myself if I were directing and the people who, you know, had a part, you know, a very small part, if they kept, you know, messing up, you're like, come on.
Right,
you
like know? We all like, want to go to lunch.
Like
we're
to
holding
have the small
up this
part.
Whole
yes.
day on this dude.
Yes, yeah. Oh, someone right. in the background. Yeah. No, yeah, I get that. Yeah,
I did Hamlet last year, and one thing the director said to several people throughout the process, if they didn't have their lines down, was like, you can get these couple of lines down if the guy who's playing Hamlet can get all of his ridiculous monologues down. Yeah. So I think some of that comes into play too with stuff like that, where it's like, you had less to memorize, so that's why we're a little harder on you than the person who had a ton to memorize.
It's true. The pressure's immense. To me, personally, it feels like being on a movie or film set, the pressure's so much greater than live theater, because you have to get it in one or two takes. You've got the entire crew holding a boom, you know, like his arms are getting tired, you know, and...
Oh yeah, those Steadicam things are heavy. Like that Mack truck commercial, the guy kept having to. They'd take it off of him, and then like two people would hold it, like just while he had 5 minutes of a break,
right?
Just to give him a 5 minute break. So those things are heavy. There's a lot going on.
Hmm.
Well, I think that it would be really interesting to see what you would rather do, both of you. Well, now Shannon. You've done strictly stage, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've filmed things, but none paid or any of that. Yeah.
So would you rather do all, if you had to pick, you either had to do all stage performance or all commercials. What would you pick?
Probably the commercials, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I would love to just do enough commercials to get by and then do like two or three shows a year.
Yeah.
You know, that would be awesome. Plus, those commercials can pay later, too, if they're successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry to jump out ahead, but that's the way I would do it, I think.
Levi?
Are we talking professionally or artistically?
Either.
Oh.
You could say both for different reasons.
Well, yeah. Years ahead of me. He had to think about it. He's like, okay, wait.
Professionally, financially, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Drex because of the money.
Mm-hmm.
You work for one day, and you might get paid for years to come off of that one job. Mm. But artistically, I would take live theater all day, every day. It's my heart. It's where I came up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like it. There's no feeling like it.
No, not a bit.
No.
No.
Well.
When you walk off of a film set, you don't know what they got. You know,
oh, yeah,
whereas in live theater, you're getting applause, you're getting reactions, you're getting instant feedback. You walk off of a film set and nobody says good job. Nobody says that was amazing. You're just left with you and your thoughts, you know, and that can be not so fulfilling,
sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah.
And plus, you don't know how much of it's going to make it to, you know, like, because I got cut out of that, my porn whiskey scene in in Bass Reeves. And then also somebody had told me, oh gosh, I can't think of her name now. Leslie told me that she had a friend that was on Psych or Chuck or something like that. Oh,
Leslie Rain?
Yes, Leslie, the lead of, or one of the leads of Picnic. So she told me that she had a friend that was on, again, I might as well say it one more time, Chuck or something. He got his big break and it was awesome. He gathered the whole family at the house to watch it. And this is before you could really stream stuff or whatever. So you're watching it live. And then there was like a right as his part come, it was like five lines or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they had a severe weather warning, like that just blasted all over. You couldn't hear him. You couldn't see him. You couldn't anything. Oh. And that was like this big thing that he told everybody and got excited about.
Oh, no.
Now the difference is, you know, when you invite somebody to come see you on stage, you know that like you're going to be there, they're going to see you, and everything's going to go well most of the time.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like it's a little bit scary. I don't necessarily want to know who's in the audience. I don't know why.
I agree with that.
I feel like when I don't know who's out there, I don't.
For good or bad reasons, whether you mess up or whether you're like, I'm going to really punch it tonight.
Yes,
you know, maybe
exactly.
That's not a good idea either.
That's right.
Yeah. The pressure feels more intense when mm-hmm. it's people, especially if it's people I respect artistically.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If they're in the audience, I feel a lot more pressure than if 100 random people that I don't know are in the audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could care less if they don't enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never see them again. They'll never see me again. We're fine.
But thank you for coming to see our shows. Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like whether it's the excitement of having the audience or the camaraderie of the cast or all of those things that make up live theater, leaving live theater sounds a little bit more emotionally charged from leaving something.
Like summer camp? Did y'all ever go to summer camp, like a summer church camp?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
man.
Then it's like, oh gosh, we're all buddies. I mean, we're the best of friends ever, and then it's like, all right,
see you later. And then you lose contact.
Yeah.
That's right. You lose contact, too. I mean,
eventually
it's different, like, if you continue doing shows at the same theater for a while, mm-hmm. and you see people.
See your lyric
but it's
players.
Never the exact mm-hmm. same group of people ever
it's
again.
Not. Right.
And, like, especially with, I thought the Mousetrap was really magical because all of us gelled so well mm-hmm. together. Artistically and personally,
mm-hmm. agreed
that it was harder to say goodbye to than a ton of other shows I've done, just because you had that. A lot of times, everybody has a lot of chemistry on stage, but like everyone kind of ignores each other off stage, mm-hmm. or everybody's friends, but the show is kind of trash.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, and so the Mousetrap was really nice because I felt like it was fun, but also we put on a good product.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
There's also something to be said about how each character and actor in the Mousetrap had to hold the same weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't a smaller part. Everybody was kind of equal in that. And that builds a lot of trust and kind of family.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Levi and Shannon, thank you so much for sitting down with us on Waxing Lyrically to talk
nice
about the
It was nice to see you guys
Mousetrap
again.
Nice
as
to see
usual.
You. Thanks for having me.
Nice to be on this side of the podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Now get back there and get back to work.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Why are you breathing
so
heavy?
I just barely got here. I'm just constantly busy. How long is this going to take us, Elisa?
You know, we're trying to keep it under 45 minutes, but what is going on with you? Why are you so busy?
I just, you know, between, you know, I've been trying to get all these commercials and, you know, making all these self-tapes and door dashing. And now I got something else going on. My new passion. It's pickleball. Pickleball. And
pickleball? Like Paul Underwood pickleball?
Yes, yes, yes. No, we're going to call it Drex Holt pickleball, actually. I'm so into it. I don't have the time for anything else. You know, I love my dog, and she hangs out with me when we're watching TV, but she needs to get walked. Like,
so
I need some help with all
Bella
this stuff.
Bella doesn't go to pickleball.
But, you know, no. She's, well, that's what's, I didn't tell you, started walking again. Well, I did tell you, but for the sake
of this.
We're
so excited.
Yes, it's, so I need somebody to walk her now.
So it sounds to me like you are looking for someone who will look after your four-legged kid while you're away. Maybe someone that'll come to your home.
That would be awesome. Do they have like, is it a subscription service or what?
No,
or
say no. This is In Real Life Sit, Stay, Play, LLC.
Here in Brownwood, we got something like that?
Pet sitting, absolutely.
Shoot.
Yep. She will come to your home. She loves all animals. And if you would like to find out more about Sit, Stay, Play, LLC, look her up on Facebook.
Well, I think I might get two more dogs now.
And here we are on the lyric stage with two of our lyric family members coming up in the next show. We've got Jennifer.
You're really
trying
with that word, aren't you? Framley.
I really am. I want that to work so bad. And then Brandon Pierce. Hello.
Hello.
Well, we are going to interview y'all. I know we had talked about earlier, kind of, we have one segment that's going to be out with the old. Y'all are in with the new.
Well, you know, it's the putting a show on is such a weird process. And, you know, what I really wanted to talk about is, well, because I guess we were at the end of Mousetrap, and it's kind of a weird feeling. You know, like you feel bad, but you're actually kind of excited for it to be over.
For sure.
But also it's a little bit depressing too. You don't know what to do with yourself. But, you know, going from that
to
being
cast,
and
all shook up.
Right.
Got cast. Yeah. You probably haven't even looked at the material that much yet.
Hardly.
You're exactly right. At the end of a show, I always say it's bittersweet because, you know, it's the only time, that's the last time you're going to do that show with those people and that character. And so you miss that, but yet you're also exhausted and ready to move on. So you've got mixed feelings. So
what? Right. How many shows have you been in, Jennifer?
A bunch.
Do you know?
A lot.
She's a
pro. The lyric or other places?
Just in general. Give a roundabout.
A lot. I don't know.
More than 30?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, I've been doing it forever.
Probably
so,
100. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. So we have a seasoned actress here. Brandon, what about you? How many shows have you been in?
I can count them on one hand, I think. And
were you drug here by Brandon?
I kind of both, himself and Dr. Humfield herself. So, of course, coming to the show since I've moved here. And seeing you two both act in The Picnic, and starting with the whole Murder on the Orient Express kind of jump-started everything, and then jumped in with Happy Elf.
So you're a fan, first and foremost.
I am. I'm a supporter. I'm
very supportive, yeah.
So did either of you prep for this audition? It sounds like... Okay, so you both planned on auditioning?
Yes.
Okay, so talk about that, Jen.
So for me, I always try to do a show every year, every other year, just because, you know, it's busy and we still have to have our day jobs and, you know, lives. I mean, I love it. I would love to do it more. But anyway, I haven't been in one since Footloose, so that's going to be 2 years this May, this coming May. But I was the music director for Happy Elf, which was this last December, which was great. And I loved it, and that's where I met Brandon. And, but I did miss singing. You know, while I'm teaching the singing, I was like, oh, I miss it. And once I heard they were doing this one, and I love Elvis music, I thought, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I've never done one in April this time of year. So, of course, I'm a teacher, so see how that goes. But, yes, I always prep. I prep a lot.
What does that look like for you?
So I always first try to find YouTube videos if they've already done it. So I checked tons of shows from, I saw high school versions, college versions, parts of the Broadway version.
Some of those are kind of hard to watch.
I don't sit through a whole high school version. But I see bits and pieces. You know, I go to Stage Agent, I study the characters, I see what their ranges are, if you know, what ages, what do I think that I might could play. And also I was so excited about this show because the ensemble, I would be happy to be in any part or ensemble because, like, they are singing the entire, and again, I just wanted to sing and dance again. It's been so long. So the ensemble, pretty much singing and dancing just about every scene, almost every scene.
They get a lot of stage.
Tons. Miss Sandra.
So who's Miss Sandra?
Miss Sandra. So she's the new museum curator in this small town that supposedly nothing's going on. You know, all these teenagers are like, oh, you know, we can't find love here. Like, we need to move away kind of thing, you know. So I also looked on Amazon and got a 50s vintage looking dress, you know, nice. For the show. Like, I always do that. I always dress for the part for the audition as well. Curl my hair in such a way.
I agree.
You know, I mean.
Oh, and, you do that for the audition.
Oh, I do. You even come for in community character. Theater. This is, good for this you. Is, yeah. I take it seriously. Like, I love mm-hmm. it and I want to, it helps me too.
Yeah.
So, but the three ladies' parts I was reading for, Miss Sandra, Sylvia, and the mayor, they were all so fun and diverse. To be honest, I did not even think she'd give me Miss Sandra, because to me she was more, she's more obviously sophisticated, but then a little later, it's kind of like, I hate to use the word sex symbol, because that seems silly and I'm making myself sound really good.
No, that's great. Think, like,
does she become earlier, the love interest? Kind, or,
yeah, yeah. It was somebody else. I don't want to maybe spoil too much. Fun. I probably shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I should or shouldn't. I don't know fun. What I can say. Okay. But I want to say something funny that I mentioned this. I just told my parents when I got the part, and I said in front of my kids, and they're old enough, and I use the word sex symbol, and then they were like grossed out, and now they don't want to see the show.
We'll anyway, never be like, able to look at great. You the same,
I mean,
Mom.
Yeah, I said it's not quite like that. I think I was just making myself feel better.
I think we need to think like Greece. Yeah. It is 1955.
Right, yes. So
I imagine like casting you in a show is great, because you're not just getting a cast member. You know, you're getting a teacher, and, you know, and one thing that I've noticed is an encourager, because even just a regular guy like me, you would really say nice things to. And I mean, is that something that you actively go out and do? Like, do you think, or is that just who you are, I guess?
I think maybe just who I am and who I see. And I think, again, being community theater, I think people sell themselves short. And I always say, Brownwood is blessed. The Lyric Theater, we have so many good mm-hmm. actors and performers around here. Not only people who have done professional theater, even the ones who haven't, like, okay, you have it, but Drex, you're really good. You know, there's so many like you and Elisa that are, y'all just have it in you.
Like,
and
I there's just, something
it's so
there.
Fun to watch.
You know,
yes.
Yeah, you need a little work.
And especially grow. Yeah. That's what, again, I love, I always say at the Lyric, the only thing I say that whenever I'm not in a show, I love getting to see the shows. I mean, I love it. And especially when you see people that you know. That's what I said. It's my favorite.
I do like it the same. I wonder if, because I don't have a lot of play-going experience, but I wonder if I could go to Granbury and enjoy it as much as I do here.
That's true.
You know,
good
when
point.
I don't. And I even have. The people I yeah. don't know, I love them too.
Yeah,
you know, just because
yeah.
they're up there.
It's nice. One thing that I've noticed now that I've been in theater is when I go and see other theaters do things, I sometimes don't get lost in the show because I'm thinking, wow, could we do that? Or who would be good right. for that on our stage? Uh-huh. Or, you know, right. so yeah, it's sometimes getting on the other side of it uh-huh. is doesn't have its good points.
Right.
You can't really
right.
get lost in the, unless it's just completely encompassing. So Brandon, mm-hmm. do you prep for a role?
I do. And I think, especially for the musicals, kind of the same route, because I'm baritone bass, and a lot of the musicals are straight tenors, and they sing up very high, and then the role mm-hmm. that I'm doing is going to sing high for All Shook Up. So kind of taking to the YouTube and kind of seeing where I might could mentally find myself in somebody's experience that's on stage.
You're so, like a singer, I guess. You
I sing, but yeah. I'm a violinist violist by trade, so I can sing.
Well, what part are you cast for, Brandon?
I was cast for Dennis, who is kind of the brainy, hopeless romantic. That does end up, I think we all, I guess not to be too spoiler, but kind of find our own partner at the end of the show.
So it's a love story.
I
thought it was all just shook up and dancing.
Oh. Yeah, so no, this guy comes rolling through, and the mayor has taken everything fun away, music, the jukebox doesn't work, and he's kind of showing up and bringing love and music and power back to this little town. And
he's like the Elvis character.
He's like the
oh, that's
main
amazing.
Elvis character.
That's a very neat way of describing it.
And it's based on a Shakespeare play.
Yes.
So you don't know. That's the whole love triangle. It's kind of constantly. You think you know who's going to end up, but you don't really. It all mm-hmm. kind of mixes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
So what's the most exciting part of being in a new show? Brandon, we'll start with you.
I think getting to see who the new cast is going to be. Going into the read-through, I think there were 5 or 6 that I knew going right in that I could come in and hug, and then 15 that I didn't.
Oh, yeah, so, musicals, yeah.
So you're coming into a new cast of 30, 35, and a new director, and a new music director, and a new choreographer. And so I think that's the fun but difficult part until 2 weeks before the show when it all gets to come together and what you did over here with choreography and did over here with singing.
Yeah, it's a nice amount of, like, familiar, but then also new, I guess, because, you know, something will... I don't know, it's weird. It's like all the pieces are the same. It's just in a different place. And that's part of what going back to finishing a show is, you know, if you look forward, you're like, we'll never do this again in the same kind of place. But we kind of will.
You know? Yeah.
What's the most exciting part for you, Jennifer?
Well, I have to say I'm excited to work with Brandon because, again, I was the music director in Happy Elf, which he was in, and I loved watching him and always said, oh, my gosh. And I thought he had done it professionally, and I'll swear he has. Mm-hmm. And then because he was so fun, like his dancing was so good. His singing, everything, so good. He made me laugh every night, even on the same lines, like even if I knew it was coming. So I'm super excited to work with Brandon and so many other people. Fun cast, like the read-through is super fun. And
I heard it was much more comical than one would suspect, that the script is got a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, more than we thought because we just got it that night and we just had, you know, bits of the audition. So, and I was actually, unfortunately, had to be a little late for the read-through. So I missed some things, but Nancy Joe was reading for me, but they told me some lines are like, oh, some of your lines. I was like,
colorful.
Okay. They were. I didn't know it was quite that colorful. So we'll see.
Well, we are so excited to see you both at your best in All Shook Up. I hope that we have a lot of people turn out. I'm sure that everyone's going to want to see you on stage, Brandon, and Jennifer coming in for just another one. I remember seeing you as you were the Dolly Parton character in 9 to 5.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. It's almost like, she's got a bigger part this time, but I remember when you played, you were in Clue.
Yes.
And you played the lady that came out and sang
telegrams.
And then got shot.
Yes. Yeah, that was very
that's
small
like
part.
A total celeb cameo yes. part.
Yes. Know,
she comes out, and of course, some beautiful singing that she just nails and then dies.
Drops and then don't the forget, mic. That's right, my backwards resurrection, that everything went backwards. Do you remember the reverse?
Oh, yes.
you went back out?
Yeah, yes. You had to do it all
reversed. They did it all in reverse.
Maybe you were dead still at that time. I don't know.
I remember that as an audience member.
But I did die.
You were dead.
Well, as we wrap up here, if you had one piece of advice to give to somebody who was auditioning, what would it be?
I mean, besides just come in.
Yeah,
you know,
get here.
Yeah.
I would say do it again. Come in and do it just because you have a whole other family. And you'll
say, I'm
love
really,
it.
Really nervous and I love to sing, but I don't know if I can do it. What advice would you give someone?
You just need to bite the bullet and just come in because really you're going to meet so many new friends. I mean, you do. And it is just like a whole new family there. Let's say you don't have a good family group or friend group. Well, you need to come.
Even Brandon's not that far ahead of it. How does it feel? You're kind of like in the family now. You know?
So when I first came, there was a different experience for the audition. Because when I came the first time, I'm going, oh my gosh, there's 40 people sitting out here. And you're going to sing to them. And then you're going to act to them. And then you're going to dance to them. And I hadn't done this since college. And I am 34. So when I came out, I can remember when I came out, I was scared. I was just kind of reading and it was still warm. But then on this audition, I just came as myself. And I think that's the best advice that I can give, because if the play is good, is the right fit for you, then you'll fit the part. If it's not, then something else will down the line. So just come as you are. And I think that's the way I came to All Shook Up, was just to read it the way that I would interpret it, or the way that I would internalizing it and express it. And so,
and it paid off,
and it did.
So wasn't a scary experience.
Exactly.
It was nice. Yeah,
exactly. That's something it was comfortable.
What he said, if you don't make it, I would say don't let that discourage you.
No.
You know, they can't cast everybody for every show, but you basically just audition for basically future shows. So, you know, just look at every show and study it and say, oh, maybe I want to be in that, or study the music. Oh, I really like that. That's kind of how I do it, too.
Look up the shows ahead of time, you know, maybe
you're really
practice
good about
a little
that,
bit.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's...
You have to.
Yeah, I had to do it. Yeah, I had to. But, yeah, you know, just put a little bit into it. That's one thing for sure, is everything I put into this, I've gotten back.
That's
you
good.
Know,
right.
I haven't gotten
for
a check
sure.
from the lyric or anybody, but, like, I've gotten it back. Like, you know, I got a better job, or...
Sure.
I moved to a better place, or this or that. Mm-hmm. Everything has happened. The more I've pursued it here, it's always led to something good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking forward to seeing y'all.
Thank you
so much for coming in and chatting with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Be sure and see Jennifer and Brandon and All Shook Up.
Next time I start, like, just saying stupid stuff, just talk over me.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
right now, if I just go ahead and right start talking right now, talking, I'm not even going to do it. And that wraps us up, Drex.
Yeah, wow. Those were great interviews,
They
huh?
really were. They All really right. were exciting, too. And I got some insights that I didn't know that I would get. So
learn something new every day. Yes,
absolutely. So if you would like to learn more about the Lyric and our podcast and the things that are going on, everything Lyric, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Yeah.
We also want to mention that we have an upcoming mini wax cast with Kieran Myers.
See, Kieran was actually on board with this concept before I was, and so now Kieran's finally gracing us with her presence. Just kidding, of course. She's been planning nuptials with Judge Studmuffin, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited.
She's got a lot on her plate.
She does. I don't know how she does it. She's got a lot going on, man.
But she's finding time to come in and do a little mini wax cast. She's going to be interviewing Tommy and Ryan Bailey. It's our Lyric Love Stories series. I'm really excited because there are several couples in the Lyric. So she's going to be interviewing folks and getting their backstory. And
are you and Councilman Beefcake going to be, you're going to have your own special?
I don't know.
Got we'll to leave say that up both to of those things yeah, in one did. Podcast.
And with that, thank don't you for listening.
Don't touch me. You might burn yourself because I'm on fire.
He's on fire. Thank you for waxing lyrically with us.
Bye. You know, this is just so exciting. We have so many different products, you know, our not products, but places and products. Our podcast is really catching steam. So we're able to sell these ads.
We've got a lot of listeners.
For sure. At least 100, I think.
I mean, dozens and dozens.
Dozens and dozens. Multiple dozens. But so basically, this break is brought to you by, funny enough, it's called Pause Break.
Pause Break?
Yeah. So it's this product they have mm-hmm. on all of these new apps and everything where you can, if something's too long, you can pause it and you can come back to it.
Wait, Drex, you're telling me that if you've been listening to something and you're need just to
tired
take
of
a break
it. Yeah
or break maybe or, someone's at the door
yeah
you just push there's a button
yeah yeah
it's that a says button. Pause
yeah and we'll just you know to give it like a name or something we'll just call it the Pause Break.
The pause break.
It, come back to it later. You know, it's a free country. You can do a lot of things here. You know, other things you can do? You can go 1.5 times. You can do that.
So
you can listen to it
faster. Talking
very,
very quickly.
Or you know what? It's not a live show, these podcasts. You can leave. It's okay. Or you can just run it in the background and then go do something else and then ignore it.
And if it's a really, really great show and you just want to really hear it, you just run the vacuum at high speeds.
You can do that. Yeah, crank it up. But the cool thing is that you can pause and you can come back. And you know what? If you go into it to the right app, it'll know where it left off. Believe it or not, it'll go right back to where you ended.
Drex, I think this is amazing. A great PSA. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening.
And thanks, Pod Break. Pause Break.
Pause Break. Pause Pod Break. Ha 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 ha!